him to do anything for money.
That's right.
And this morning, now take that low off. Remember I put on there a minute ago? This morning, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. The book of Jeremiah chapter number 6. And we're going to look at some scripture here in the Word of God just for a few minutes this morning. Jeremiah chapter 6. Please, I need you to keep your seats and be still for the next few minutes that I can get this message out this morning. Jeremiah chapter 6. I need you back there, Roy, for that in just a minute. Got it? Okay. Thank you. Jeremiah chapter number 6. Look at verse 16. This would sort of be our theme verse for today, maybe for the next few weeks. I'm not going to preach on every Sunday, but a good theme verse for our fall Sunday school campaign. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. Here the prophet told these people, he said, you'd be better off to find these good old ways and walk in them. But they said, we will not walk therein. I want to preach for a few minutes about the good old days. I am certainly not going to be hypocritical this morning and stand up here and say that I want us to get rid of the air conditions, that I want to, you know, throw all the cell phones and computers away and go back to driving horse and buggies. I don't want to do that at all. Not at all. Don't get that impression. But the truth is this morning, I do think that we got some lessons that we could learn from grandpas and grandmas.
Yep.
That would really do us good. We've missing. This generation is so shallow that we live in. The generation we live in thinks only of now, right now. I'm telling you, we're living in a crazy world. Moses was 80 when God called him to preach. 80. In Hollywood now, when you get past 25, they don't have no use for you. 25. Some of them make it to 30. A very few make it in their 40s. Plato was 60. Michelangelo was still composing at 89. One fellow, Titian, painted the Last Supper at 80 and was still working at 98. John Wesley, the great preacher, Methodist evangelist, traveled all his life, preached thousands of times, and when he was 86, he began to complain that he could only preach twice a day at 86. And he complained about a growing tendency to lie in the bed in the morning until 5:30 a.m. That's right. That's in the Journal of John Wesley. And somebody said, you're not... You know when you get old is when you start thinking you're old. The minute you start saying, I'm too old to do that, that's when you really are start getting old. All that stuff's in your mind, a lot of it. And God has used some people after they're 50, 60, 70, and 80 more than He did in their younger life.
Amen.
And so this morning, I want us to look back 50, 75, 100 years ago, 150, 200 years ago. Let's go back to 1807 from 1907 to 2007, we have 1907. Let's go back to 1907, 1920, 1930, 1940, and let's go back and say some things about it this morning. The first thing I want to say about the good old days, better than now, is in the good old days, we had one God.
That's right.
We had one God.
That's right.
Anybody in America, you could walk up to a 1900 and say, where's God? And they're talking about the same God.
Yeah.
We have really made not progress in that direction.
Man.
We really went downhill. America this morning, if you turn on the news, all you hear is God as you see Him or her. God as you perceive Him or her or it. Whatever it might be. It might be a tree. Whatever you think God is, God is. Boy, we need to get back to the good old days when there was only one God. And that God made heaven and earth. I will say this morning, I love America, and I'm not against other people coming from other countries to America. If they come legally and get and you know do whatever they want, you know, fit in here, that's fine with me. I don't care. But, brother, it's a sad day in America when we get on TV and apologize for using the word Jesus and God, afraid we're going to offend Muslims who's their God and teaches they ought to kill all of us. That's a sad day. Amen?
Amen.
Don't get quiet on me. I know you've been watching CNN if you get quiet on that. That's the SIN network and the sin network. And brother, I'm going to tell you something. Listen, Allah is not God. You say, well, you shouldn't criticize other people's religion. Yes, sir, you should. Allah is a false God. If you follow Allah, you will not go to heaven according to the Bible. Amen? We have one God. God is not God as you perceive Him. God is God. If I go out there this morning and I say, well, I don't think the sun is hot. I don't think the sun is hot. It don't make a hoot what I think. The sun is hot. And God's that way. He's just God. He always has been. He always will be. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He never had a beginning. He never had an ending. He's always the same. He's just God. And we need to get back in this country to believing there's a God. Amen? We don't have the same God as the Muslims. We don't have the same God as Buddhists. We don't have the same God. There's not all these diverse religions coming into our country this morning. We was a lot better off when we had one God. I got a book here that I've quoted to you some before, and I'm going to give you just one or two here. Here in the old days, you know, we have great colleges in this country. There's Yale, Princeton, Harvard, all these great, very expensive colleges. You got to be rich to even get in them. Do you know that every one of those colleges were started as Christian schools to teach people, train kids for the ministry, and get them to serving God? It really was. Yale, in 1701, was founded by a group of 10 preachers. It was moved to Connecticut. And named after Elihu Yale, and its purpose in that November the 11th, 1701, said, quote, to plant under ye divine blessing and propagate in the wilderness the blessed reform Protestant religion in purity and order of worship. It said, all students of Yale shall live religious, godly, and blameless lives according to the rules of God's Word, diligently reading the Holy Scriptures, and attend upon the duties of religion in public and in secret. Seeing God is the giver of all wisdom, every student at Yale, ladies and gentlemen, beside private or secret prayer, we're all bound to ask wisdom and be present in morning and evening public prayer at the hall in the accustomed hour. Now, if they get together and pray on the campus of Yale, the ACLU is standing right there ready to sue them. I'm telling you, the good old days, we had one God. We had one God. Don't you miss the old days when you could pray on the school campus and people get together and pray if they wanted to? You can get together and protest. You can get together and fight. You can get together and have any kind of... You watch this Halloween. They'll come, they can do anything you want to on Halloween. A course in witchcraft, show Harry Potter, whatever you want to do. But you cannot assemble under one God. Ladies and gentlemen, the good old days, we had one God. And everybody knew what God that was. I'm going to say secondly this morning, in the good old days, we had one Bible. Amen. We had one Bible. Don't it make sense this morning that everybody's Bible would say the same thing? What if you went and seen, is the World Series started? It ain't. Well, I heard them talking about baseball yesterday. I don't know who's playing, but let's say you went to a Yankees game and the Yankees was playing freedom, and they got over here and, you know, put them on the same level, I reckon, and the Yankees were playing freedom, and went down there, and one umpire said, my book says this, and the other umpire says, my book said that, and the other umpire says, Mike, well, you wouldn't have nothing but confusion. Anybody with a brain in their head knows that every ball team ought to go by the same rules. You ain't going to have nothing but confusion if you have different rule books in every game. And that's where the devil has got churches. This is where you go to church. Well, you say, well, my preacher reads this, and my preacher reads the NIV, and the devil has told people there's no difference. But I'm telling you this morning, they are. There's a big difference in the old-fashioned King James 1611 Bible and the new modern versions that we see coming out. Amen. If you don't believe it, if you got a friend, there's probably people here this morning. You got an NIV, I'll guarantee you, you look at 1 John 5:7, it ain't in there. It might have something wrote, but 1 John 5:7 is the strongest verse in the New Testament on the Trinity. It's completely mutilated in the NIV. You look at Daniel chapter 3 and verse 25. And in Daniel 3:25, our Bible, our old-fashioned Bible, our mama's Bible, our grandmother's Bible, said that God, that there was the fourth man in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was the Son of God. The Son of God. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You know what the NIV says? A son of the gods, little g. Many gods, many sons. That's a lie. That's false doctrine. That's heresy. I'm telling you, brother, the old-fashioned preachers preach that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked in the fire and Jesus Christ showed up and walked in the fire with them. That's what the old-fashioned book says. And I believe the old-fashioned days were better because we had one Bible. You say, well, my preacher, it ain't my fault. Don't get mad at me because your preacher uses a different rule book. Ask your preacher, Acts 8:37, he meant it. Acts 8:37 ain't even in the NIV. Don't even have it. It says Acts 8:35, Acts 8:36, Acts 8:38. Not only are they sorry translators, they can't count. 38 don't come after 36. Amen. They leave out verse 37. 37 is where the man gets saved. He said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, his profession of faith, and the NIV goes zap and zaps it out with Yehudi's penknife. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the good old days where we had one Bible. Thank God, one Bible. Some of them old preachers had more sense in the end of their little finger than this modern day, some of them educated beyond their intelligence, has got in their brains. Amen. Or you hear them nowadays on the radio, I don't know what they're doing, but it ain't preaching. I don't know what it is, but they ain't preaching. It's saying, and so we must learn to cope with our feelings and our feelings. Where'd all that junk come from? That don't come out of the Bible. That kind of talk don't come out of the Bible. Coping don't come out of the Bible. Self-esteem don't come out of the Bible. None of that stuff comes out of the Bible. You say, well, I got my feelings hurting. I need to be healed. That don't come out of the Bible. That ain't the Bible. And brother, you just forgive and forget and go on for the glory of God. The Bible teaches us. Listen, you know some of these preachers are messed up because there's stuff coming out in their preaching that ain't like some of them old timers, brother. They got up and shelled the corn, amen. And I had a little background in my mouth like that. But boy, they'd let you have it, I'm telling you. Amen. Heard about one of them old preachers. That's right, Granny took a shouting spell on that. That's her favorite verse, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. My favorite verse is, nobody's perfect. But anyway, I tell you what, boys, I said them old preachers like that, they had a lot of wisdom. And some of them had they had common sense. They couldn't even read the Bible much, but they had common sense. They said one time, there's a chicken thief. You've heard that story. There's a chicken thief in the church. And they all met on Saturday night, and nobody knew who was stealing everybody's chicken. And the preacher got up and he said, tonight, he said, God is going to reveal who the chicken thief is. Right here in this service tonight. He put a big rock on the pulpit. He said, in just a minute, I'm going to take this rock and bust the head of the chicken thief. I'll put it right there. And he got in the Holy Ghost. He started preaching. He preached and he preached and he preached. And he said, and now God will reveal the chicken thief. Ladies and gentlemen, the chicken thief is. And one fellow back there ducked like his right here. See, he didn't learn that in seminary, did he? That stuff like that you don't get out of a book. Amen? And one of them old preachers one time, he said they come to church, and back when them women wore them great big old hats. You remember when women wore great big hats, church? Big old round thing, man. The whole family would walk underneath them things when it was raining. And it spread out like that. And the preacher got up one Sunday and he said, "Ladies," he said, "if you don't mind, I wish you'd remove your hats because some people can't see." And one woman just sat there and looked at him like, "I ain't moving my hat." He said, "Ladies, would you please remove your hat?" Said, "If you don't mind, I would appreciate it if you'd remove your hats." She looked at him like, "I ain't taking my hat off of you or nobody else." He said, "Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies. I appreciate that." Said, "I was preaching at church the other day, and I asked all the ladies to remove their hat, and all of them would but one. And, you know, come find out she's bald-headed." She just took that hat off and set it down right over there like that right there. I know you blondes can't get that, but I ain't got time to explain it to you. I mean, some of them had wisdom, brother. Some of them old preachers had wisdom. I'm telling you what, brother. I'm telling you they had some sense. Amen. I tell you, brother, I read about Peter Cartwright, and I've studied church history, and George Whitfield and Finney and all them guys. And Lord have mercy, men come in to shoot him while he's preaching. One of them guys stood up, he's preaching like this one night, and a guy come in to kill him, run over him with a horse. And he said, "Dear God, help me," and kept preaching. And they said, "That horse run into something like an invisible wall and just reared up like that and turned around and took off." Them old preachers had some kind of touch and power that our modern generation, I'm afraid, is losing. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, we need to get back to where we just had one book, where we just preached one Bible. This Bible, and I believe it when I first started preaching, I still believe it today. This book right here, you don't have to improve on it. You don't have to rewrite this book. This book will still work in our lives in 2007. I know it's an old-fashioned book, but brother, some of the old ways are better. Get back to the old ways, the good path. This is still the best book on marriage counseling. This is still the best book on how to raise children. This is still the best book on how to be a husband and a wife. This is still the best book on finances. This is still the best book on the past history. This is still the best book on future prophecy. This is the greatest book on earth. And we don't want to ditch it, brother, for some modern reason and philosophy. We want to stick with the old book. Amen. I used to have an old church member named Lloyd Brumman. Some of y'all remember Brother Lloyd. He's old as the hills. And Brother Lloyd would go visiting with me on Thursday, and I'd run him to death. And I'd make him go up steps to hospital and everything. I'd say, "Come on, Brother Lloyd," and all that. And I drive, you know, sometimes I drive pretty rough. And I went right through two cars one time, ran around a stop sign like that. And old Brother Lloyd, I said, "Did I scare you, Brother Lloyd?" He said, "No, I'm all right." That's the way he talked like that. And one time I was going down there, and I passed the car and went between two of them or something like that. And he went over there, and he said, and he went, "Wee!" And that's right. He didn't complain. He didn't say, "Slow down, let me out." And brother, I'll never forget what Lloyd always told me. I'll never forget. Lloyd always told me. I said, "Brother Lloyd, I appreciate you going with me on visitation. And I appreciate you sticking with me in the church and staying behind me." And you know what he told me? He'd always say this. He'd say, "You stick with the book, I'll stick with you, Brother Danny." He said, "You stick with that book, I'll stick with you." I said, "That's fair enough. Fair enough, brother. I stick with the book, you stick with me." Amen? You can't, you ain't ask no more than that, right? I don't ask you to stick with me if I don't stick with the book. If I don't stick with the book, throw me out. Get somebody in here who will stick with it. Amen? Brother, this book's the most important thing. Not me, not you. This book's the most important thing. Thank God we got an old-fashioned Bible. Thank God my mama set me on her knee when I was a little kid and said, "This is the Word of God." Thank God I grew up here in old-fashioned King James Bible-believing preacher. Thank God we live in the South where there's camp meeting still held and preaching of the Bible. I'm glad we got the old book. I'm going to tell you something else this morning. Thirdly, back in the old days, we had one faith. Basically, everybody believed the same thing. Might not live it, even sinners, but everybody believed. We didn't have situation ethics. Situation ethics has replaced absolutes in education now. And situation ethics teaches that there is no such thing as absolute right or absolute wrong. The situation determines it. So if you're in a situation where it would be better to lie then it's all right to lie because the situation determines whether something's right or not. You understand that? That's what they're teaching in schools nowadays. That's the philosophy in colleges and high schools today, is if the situation calls for it, it's okay to do something that you might have been... There's no such thing as absolutes. There's no such thing as absolute right, absolute wrong. We didn't have that. Years ago, brother, if we said something wasn't true, it was a lie. If it ain't truth, it's a lie. Amen? And it still is. We all have one faith. Like that one little boy said, teacher said, what's a lie? One little boy raised his hand and he said, a lie is abomination in the sight of God, but a very present help in a time of trouble. Yeah, that's right. Amen. I'm telling you what, brother. Listen, back in the old days, everybody believed. Listen, there was a time in this country when everybody believed that a man's supposed to marry a woman and they're supposed to have kids and that's a family. Well, I had one thing. Even people that wasn't saved.
Yes, sir, brother.
Amen. Listen to me, folks. Listen, this is the first generation ever in our nation's history that put its approval. I mean, congressmen are homosexuals, movie stars, right? And we think, oh, well, she's gay, so what? Don't call them gay. It's not gay. It's sodomy. Amen? Don't you dare. The word gay means happy. It don't mean queer. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, there was a time when we didn't believe like that. All right. Got a song for you at this point in the message. You ready? Your sister told me about this song yesterday. Never heard it before till last night. I said, Lord, I'm going to use it in the message. Roll it.
I turned on the television, tried to catch a little news. There was Dan the newsman with all his liberal views. He talked about a wedding, but they only showed two men. So I wrote a little email with an invite just for him. The park. You won't see two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't make a chicken. They don't have an egg to hatch. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that.
Amen. Here we go. Listen to the words. Come on down the phone.
Now in this little email I commenced to tell him how two mares can't make stallion and two bulls can't have a cow.
Amen.
It takes a male and female or the species can't go on. There'll be no reproduction if the plumbing is all wrong.
Amen.
Come on down.
Come on down to the farm.
Come on out to the farm.
Yeah.
You won't see two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't make it. They don't have an egg to hatch. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that.
Look out there.
We used to teach our children all about the birds and bees. Now the world is telling them, do anything you please.
Yep.
They need to read their Bible, cause they need to know the truth. A million happy ganders couldn't make a single goose. To the barn, you won't see two roosters walking arm in arm. They couldn't.
They can't make a chicken.
They don't have an egg to hatch. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that. When God said love your brother, I don't think he meant like that.
Hey, man. All right. Wasn't that good? All right. We had one faith, as I was saying. They knew that things weren't supposed to be like that. The way you know nobody's born homosexual is because there's no homosexual animals. None. And we evolved from them, right? There ain't none. 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 You're not born that way. They knew kids needed discipline back in the old days. Boy, I'm telling you, they take this. You know why we got such a bunch of crazy, wild kids nowadays? Because
We don't believe like the old days. Now, I know we got a lot of inventions, and I thank God for all the technology. And, man, I love cruise control. I love air conditioning. I love all that stuff. But, brother, we've missed it in a lot of ways. We don't even believe in disciplining kids anymore. I heard them say on the news the other day, they said, well, this child has been in a home where they believe in corporal punishment. And if you hit children, you're going to breed violence in them and everything. And I thought, if you don't spank them, you're going to breed a double. They're going to wind up giving you more trouble than you'll ever get them out of. You cannot let a kid run wild and not discipline it. There's never been a kid on this earth that needed spanking once in a while, except Jesus Christ, and I mean yours, and I need mine. I mean mine. Every one of them needs it. Say amen. And you need it more than you got. And I did too. I'm going to say lastly this morning, back in the old days, they had one way to get saved. They only had one way to get saved. Nowadays, you create your own heaven. If everything's going good in your life, you're in heaven. If everything's going bad in your life, you're in hell. I had a boy tell me, he said, I'm in hell. I said, no, you ain't. He said, yes, I am. My wife left me. I've lost my job. I'm in hell. I said, you ain't in hell. I said, how you know? See that water over there? You can go over there and get you a drink of it. Can't get no water in hell. See me? You can't see me in hell. I ain't going to be there. See the light? You can't see light in hell. You are not in hell. Hell is a place below you this morning where it's people burning and screaming and begging for a drop of water on their tongue. Heaven is a place this morning where there's eternal happiness and joy and peace, where we'll live forever and sing the praise of God. Listen, that song we sang a while ago, Silver and Gold, might buy me a home, but the things of this world ain't going to last you long. You're not going to reincarnate. We had one way to get saved. I'm a little worried, and I'm not nobody's judge. I don't think you have to act any certain way to be saved. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you have to cry. You don't. The Bible don't say you have to cry. I'm not saying you have to get down on your knees. It don't say you have to get down on your knees. I'm not saying you have to do anything other than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But honest to goodness, people, it bothers me the shallowness of our conversions in this generation. You know what they had in the old churches? They had the mourner's bench. You know what you did at the mourner's bench? You cried. You repented. You quit your drinking. You quit your sinning. You quit the best you could. You shaped up. Brother, you repented. And that don't save you. Quitting stuff don't save you. But brother, when they got saved in the old days, people said, I'm a changed man. Everything's different. I'm walking another way. I believe different. I think different. I act different. The old time way of getting saved. Listen, I believe you're saved by grace plus nothing. It don't matter if you do anything. It ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. But the old-fashioned way was, when you got under conviction and got converted, things were different. It was life-shattering, brother. It changed you. You didn't just say, oh, I got saved. Yeah, did I get saved last Sunday? Oh, yeah, I got saved too. It wasn't like that. The night I got saved, I bawled my eyes out. I cried 45 minutes. I said, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I didn't come down chewing bubble gum and smiling and sign my name on a card. Man, in a lot of churches nowadays, somebody comes down for prayer, they take them off in a little room somewhere. They don't want to embarrass people by seeing people in the altar and talk to them and say, well, I hear it on the radio all the time now. They say, here's what they say. If you'd like to begin a relationship with Christ. Have you heard them say that? At the end of the broadcast, they say, if you'd like to begin a relationship with Christ, that ain't what the Bible terminology is. You don't begin a relationship with Christ. You must be born again. You have to have a change of heart on the inside. It's something that happens to you, brother. This dead, stagnated religion is producing a bunch of the spiritual abortions. I'm afraid. I'm not being critical. I'm not saying everybody has to act like we act. But I'm saying, brother, this morning, there's got to be something deep down inside when a man gets saved. You don't forget about it before you get home. It does something to you. In the old days, they didn't come down. Are you willing to accept Christ? Yes. Shake your hand, turn around, go back, sit down, smile the whole time. That ain't the way it was. Have you been saved? The old-fashioned way? Have you been born again? I know a hectic in here this morning. I'm going to close. We got so many kids, but I want you to pray, and I want you to stand with me right now, please. Stand with me right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Tried to do the best I could with this morning with this in this crowded situation. Maybe there's somebody here this morning. Please don't walk out. Don't walk around. I'm not through. Be real still. Be real still. Somebody here this morning needs to get saved the old-fashioned way. I already had 10 or 12 back in the junior church. The old-fashioned way. Mourner's bench. Hitting the altar. Crying. God's speaking to you this morning. Is He? Is God speaking to you this morning? Amen. Father, do what ought to be done right now. I pray for that young man, young boy, young girl, mama or daddy, that needs to come this morning, get help from you, that this will be the day, the hour, and the moment they'll come to Jesus Christ and be saved before it's too late. Touch us, dear God, this morning. Have your way, Lord, I beg. Do what needs to be done. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You come. Come on right now.
Just
kneel right here.
As I